Josh and Frankie.
What a couple of dumb shits.
Hello, primates! You found Primus Tracks, congratulations, and it is a special episode of Primus Tracks. What the hell are we doing recording and posting on a Friday? Oh my goodness. Well, there's a really good reason for it, and I know a guy that can help us out. His name is Frankie, and he is coming to us from the bowels of Primus Tracks Towers, where all secrets are about to be revealed.
Hi, Josh.
Best intro ever. You can barely contain yourself. Frankie's been hammering away at all these conspiracies, and he's going to tell us what's true and what isn't. Some disturbing truths, I'm sure. Well, Frankie, we've got three new Primus tracks to talk about. This is our first Primus release since we started this podcast, so it's a strange thing to talk about new music. We have to react to new music as opposed to talking about tracks that are 29 years old.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's a complicated subject, right? Because for some people, this is the first new Primus since Green Naugahyde, because, you know, there are some purists that say there's Primus doing concept albums based on pre-existing things, and there's Primus doing completely original social observation numbers, and this is the first time it's happened since Green Naugahyde. But for the rest of us who are not so, so strict, we could say that it's first new Primus since the Saturating Seven.
Right. So we have these new tracks, and we've had years and years, of course, to process our thoughts and go more in depth on some of the tracks that we've been discussing. But now you're going to get our unvarnished first listen reactions, essentially, to some tracks that have only been out for a few hours or a few days. So I'm pretty excited for us to take on this task because, you know, when I have 20 years to think about something, Frankie, I can really, really get specific and really line out my thinking. But this might be a mishmash. It might be a jumble. It might be a mess. I know you're prepared. You've got everything formulated in your head. Your essays are coming. Well, before we do that, I want to quickly thank a couple of entrants into Captain Shiner's yacht. Yes, they have gained passage. You too can join Captain Shiner's yacht and all the maritime fantasies that come with it. You can support the podcast by essentially donating money, but we'll send you some stickers that say Primus Tracks on them, designed by Frankie, printed by Sticker Robot. I helped, kind of. And I'd be happy to send you some stickers in return for your financial support for the podcast. And you can find us at Primus Tracks on Instagram and Twitter. The PayPal email is primustrackspod@gmail.com. And I think the Venmo is at Primus Tracks. I looked at it once, and I think that's it.
Buy stuff, please.
Buy stuff.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Join the eternal consumption engine, please. So thank you to Greg and Daryl in Canada for their generous contributions to the podcast. Daryl's been around since day one. Greg also left a nice review. I think I read it back in the day. So thanks to both of them. We also received a nice note and a few bucks from our old pal, Matt Hunter, who has been on the podcast a few times. So thank you, Matt. Appreciate your support as well.
Before we dive into the tracks, Josh, it's not miscellaneous debris in the strict sense of the word, but I would like to give a shout out to our pal Matt for his extremely thorough analysis of the gear in our post about the June 2010 rehearsal EP.
Yes.
He really went all in with his review.
That's right. Yeah, you can check that out on Instagram on our June 2010 EP post. Matt is our resident gearhead. I know next to nothing about the gear. Frankie knows quite a bit, but I think Matt has the title for
he's
a reason.
He's the king.
He is the king. And I love that Soya tells him he's wrong sometimes. And I don't know if Soya is being sincere when he says that. Hands are up.
Maybe Matt is getting close to something, and Soya wants to drive him away.
That's right. When you get too close to the truth, they try to bury you. Oh my goodness. Well, that's a great segue into the content of some of these songs on the Conspiranoid EP released today, April 22nd. We don't normally talk about dates on this podcast because Primus is timeless and supersedes all concepts of humanity. But there it is, April 22nd, 2022. Conspiranoid, three-track EP. Frankie, you alluded to this earlier. This is our first new Primus release since 2017's Desaturating 7.
Indeed.
For some, it's Primus's first new music since Green Naugahyde. You do you, guys. It's also our first new music from them jamming since before Tim Alexander's third stint in the band. So if you want to look at it that way, then you have to go all the way back to Green Naugahyde. The Wonka album was arrangements of existing music, and the Desaturating 7 was mapped out fully almost by Les Claypool on his own going into the recording of that.
Yes.
So we definitely know for Conspiranoid, they jammed out at least two of these three tracks, and then Larry brought in some of the licks for Aaron on the Side of Caution, but of course, the rest of the band had to fill in there. So this is original spaghetti-throwing Primus. Pretty exciting.
Old school.
Yeah. And I think it's worth noting that Les hasn't been overly productive in the recording music department since Desaturating 7. Now, there are extenuating circumstances, of course. But it's also
worth noting, Josh, that at the time, we didn't know it, but we caught a glimpse of the EP artwork all the way back in August.
Oh, that's right. There were a couple places where one could see it. I know that Les displayed some of his paintings at the Chambers Project in Grass Valley, California, but he also was showing them off on Instagram, right?
That's right. So back in August of the last year, he unveiled this piece that we can see on the cover artwork. And talking about this release and these tracks, Josh, I see these songs as a natural progression from several different things. First of all, I don't know how informed these tracks are by whatever was supposed to come out of the NFT project that Les was working on.
Right.
Because if you recall, all the way back in May of the last year, this project was supposed to build up into several NFTs and eventually a solo record.
Correct.
I think it was not particularly received in the way Les expected. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's curious how much he strayed from that project and then he decided to focus on Primus, and maybe he used some of the music that was meant for that. Well, we know that it was born out of jamming, right? But what I mean is maybe he was interested in approaching some of these topics with the solo tracks. But in the end, perhaps he decided to abandon that project and he used the material for Primus. I'm curious about how relative these new songs are to that project that was supposed to happen.
That's a really great question. Yeah. Well, he had voiced his frustration, you know, other than doing the second CLD record and some guest appearances here and there. Desert Sessions comes to mind. He also played bass on a cover of Anthem that made the rounds during the quarantine period, I suppose. He did voice some frustration at his lack of inspiration to create things. So he was out doing yard work, essentially. But he kind of came out of hibernation. But he was painting as well, and he was doing a lot of different things. I'm not saying he was sitting around twiddling his thumbs, but he did kind of come out of hibernation there with the King's Tour. And last year, we do have a product, I guess, of their desire to make more proggy music with Conspiranoia. And Les talked about that track a lot in some of the press leading up to this. And then the other two tracks, he said, well, you got to have some B-sides. So they almost sound like afterthoughts. So it is curious as to where they came from, just from straight jamming, or where was he bringing some ideas from that, the music that he was recording that was intended to end up being a solo record. We'll see. As we all know, this guy leaves a lot of pots on the stove.
That's right. I'm curious if that will emerge at some point later or if it has been completely abandoned. I hope not, because a Les solo record would be pretty interesting at this point in time, considering, you know, that all his music is informed by all the projects that he's done. So, for example, it's inevitable for a little Claypool Delirium to leak into Primus, right? Or maybe a little Frog Brigade whenever he was touring with that project. So yeah, at this point, it would be interesting to see how a solo record would be informed by everything he has done. What I also think is that the B-sides are classic Primus in the sense that they sound like something they would have come up with during the creation of any album in the past. But the title track, it's the progression from playing Rush for the last couple of tours.
Yeah, I agree. I will point back to something that you said, and they could have borrowed a title from Robin Thicke for this release and called it Blurred Lines, because there are a lot of things crossing over from different Les Claypool projects into this, seemingly. But we will talk about them track by track, and we'll talk about what it sounds like to us, too, where we see influences or what this possibly could have been or where we think it may have come from. So, yeah, there's a lot going on here. I think a lot of us expected, hey, they sat around for a year and a half, they should have a record coming out, and that wasn't necessarily the case. So, but we do get these three tracks here in the spring of 2022, first Primus in 5 years. I would have to say, Frankie, the announcement of the EP had us all quite giddy in our loins, and then we had to wait, but they were nice enough to piecemeal hand us a track at a time here leading up to the official release of the digital version. Of course, if you order the vinyl, you're waiting a while. But the wait is over. This is it, the first release of the Primus Tracks era. So we have these sparkly new tunes, and one of them is already getting live play. So let's talk about our first track of Conspiranoid, Conspiranoia.
Conspiranoia, wow. So first of all, Josh, I gotta say that there are some cases where you hear new Primus tunes and you just go with the flow, right? You let them take you by surprise. But there are other cases where maybe you are already biased because of something you read or some reviews. So the listening experience is different. This was the case for me, you know, because when Les mentioned in the build-up to the release that Conspiranoia was meant to be like this 20-minute magnum opus, and then it was cut down to 11 minutes and a half, which is still pretty long for a song.
Right.
I knew that it was a track that I would have to pay close attention to. So I remember my first listening being really, really into the music. There were even some moments where I wasn't watching the video at all. So I was just focusing on what was going on musically.
Yep.
So it's definitely the most demanding track from the EP, and perhaps one of the most demanding Primus tracks in quite a while.
Demanding of your attention, you mean?
Yeah, demanding of an effort from the listener. I mean, it's not something that you can just put in the background, right? It's a right. song that requires, you know, that you listen to what is going on musically and all the twists and turns that it has in its different sections.
I asked you for clarification on that because the word demanding can be interpreted a bunch of different ways. So it could go to negative track, it could go a positive track. But you're right. It is one that requires an investment on the listener. And this was, of course, the lead. So it came out first. Roughly a week, a little over a week, maybe even more than that, a couple of weeks ahead of the release date.
Yes.
And so we have Conspiranoia. It's, of course, a portmanteau of the words conspiracy and paranoia. And you're right, it was originally advertised as at least 13 minutes, so they did some paring down. They were shooting for longer, so makes you wonder. There's got to be something on the cutting room floor there. But this track, you know, we're not going to play the whole thing because it's 11 and a half minutes, but it does have some highlights. So my initial reaction when I first heard it, and of course I've listened to it, I don't know, 170 times by now, Frankie, it starts out really promising with our guitar and bass licks and the drum building throughout. And then we get some fancy stuff from about 1 minute to a minute and 14 seconds, which I think we can all agree is pretty great, this part right here, because this is where a lot of people are saying, this is the Rush influence. Stuff right here. Exciting. That's where the Rush influence, I think, from playing these records is, or sorry, the record is rubbing off on them. But then we get into the main section and the pace slows way down and it is a slow paced track. You know, all I could think, Frankie, during the vocal lines was people are going to be angry with this. Primus attracts a really diverse crowd. This is to some going to be punching down and to some this is going to be offensive. To some, this is going to be problematic. To some, this is going to be the gospel. And then there's a million in between because that's the beauty of interpretation. That's really all I want to say about the lyrics right now. Because if you want to know more, all you have to do is go look at the YouTube thread or the Facebook thread. It gets a little wild over there.
I can't think of any Primus song that had been so divisive ever, right?
Right, especially upon release. My goodness. I suppose that's a product of the time in which you were dropping track by track ahead of the normal release date, whereas back in the 90s, you didn't get too many previews. You might have heard the song on the radio right before the drop date, the single that is, but that's it. You know, you weren't given things piecemeal like this. So we had something to chew on for quite some time, and that definitely invited a lot of commentary. We won't get into the commentary now because we'll actually cover these tracks more in depth in, I don't know, 2028, but we'll get there. But I will say, listening to this for the first few times, I found myself, as you, Frankie, paying really close attention. And my attention, though, at some points waned, especially in these middle two to about the 6 minute mark, I'd say. It's just this slower pace, and it does let you really sit in the song and absorb it, but I did find my mind wandering here and there. You know, they talk about it as a prog song, but it's not prog. I'd say it's prog adjacent to me. You know, it doesn't have some hallmarks of true prog, and that's fine. It doesn't bother me.
Sure.
You know, things do pick up again with A Trip to Lurland in the 7th minute. I will never say no to that. But then the last 4 minutes, and I think this is something you wanted to talk about, it just seems to meander again. You know, we get some nice Lur guitar work. We get a cool, neat synth solo, first time in Primus history on a recording for that. Nice to hear Adam Gates doing some spoken word work.
I guess you haven't spent a lot of time with that record, but it's actually a throwback to the Cricket Chronicles Volume 2 from the South of Reality album, because that track also features a coda with an Adam Gates narration.
Right, and that is one of the better things to me on that CLD record is Adam listing all those side effects. Most of them are so ridiculous, you know. I love it. And then here, we get him doing his newscaster voice. You know, as some people know, he was the newscaster in The Incredibles 2, so they might recognize the voice that way. But he would kind of put on that voice for this, you know, reading some conspiracy theories.
It's really surprising how this track is kind of a collage, you know, from different things. So we have something that reminds us of the Cricket Chronicles Revisited via Adam Gates. The structure is reminiscent of what they've been playing throughout the tour. Mm-hmm. But also, Josh, I want to point out that since the first time I heard the song, I kept thinking, these bass fills remind me of something, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And then after the second listening, I said, oh, yes, of course, I know what this song reminds me of. And it's Ancient Mariner from the Frog Brigade, extremely obscure number.
Right. This was only played, Ancient Mariner, I think, was only played at soundcheck, correct?
It was only soundcheck. That's right. Can you play the two portions, Josh, to compare back to back?
This is what I was talking about, guys. Frankie has called up the spirits. He knows what's happening. Ancient Mariner, by the way, a really, really old Primus track that Les eventually abandoned and never recorded. But the Frog Brigade played it, at least at a soundcheck. Here's Conspiranoia. And here is that recording of Ancient Mariner from Soundcheck way back in whenever. Frankie probably knows. The similarities are right in front of me.
Do you think it was something unconscious?
It almost sounds like he lifted it verbatim, but I'm not an expert. So maybe he just had it in his head, or maybe he decided to bring it back for this. fascinating. So really similar there. So he was reaching way back into his past if he was bringing that out consciously. What a great pickup there, Frankie. You know, if you think about it, we've got Ancient Mariner, definitely a piece of Ancient Mariner there. And then if you look at some of the comments for folks that were attaching some kind of reference point to this, they were saying, this sounds like Floyd, this sounds like Rush, this, even someone said, wow, that one word conspiranoia chorus sounds like it comes right off of the One Hot Minute record from Red Hot Chili Peppers. So people were pulling all these reference points to different portions of this 11 and a half minute behemoth. And to me, there's nothing wrong with that because it helps us categorize it in our heads and helps us make connections. So it's not as if they are ripping off Floyd or Rush or the One Hot Minute record for that matter, but we just make those connections as listeners. And it's really fun to do for me. I like doing that too. So, and a lot of people mentioned Lead in Delirium. It definitely had that vibe for them. I don't know what else, Frankie, but I got to say that Ancient Mariner thing's a surprise for me. I think that's fantastic.
It's really cool, right?
Yeah. Of all those angles, I think you've got the best one because you have all the recordings in the vault.
Oh, thank you. Especially because Ancient Mariner is such a cool track, and it's a shame he never explored it further.
Well, we get a piece of it here, I suppose. But yeah, I will say this track, for me, you know, initial reactions, first of all, I went, New Primus, yes, I couldn't be happier, screaming, rejoicing to the skies, partying in the streets, and then listening to it a whole bunch more times, you know, it's got a lot of parts, but I don't know if it has enough parts to be 11 and a half minutes.
I think I'm in a similar point because for me, you know, whenever a new Primus album comes out or whenever they make new music, after I get familiarized with the record, I always say, all right, so these are my picks for a playlist. These are the kind of songs that I will enjoy listening to out of context mixed with other Primus numbers. And there are the album tracks, which I know I will only play in the context of the album. Maybe because that's the only way they make sense, or maybe because I don't enjoy them as individual pieces of work as much. And mm-hmm. I think Conspiranoia is definitely one of those songs. I will listen to the song whenever I play the whole EP, but it's not a song I will revisit out of the blue occasionally.
You do have to want to make the investment to listen to the whole track at 11 and a half minutes. For those that don't want to just go, you know, I'm going to fast forward to Lurland and then get out. But, you know, which some people might do. But, you know, for me, yeah, I want to hear the whole track too if I'm going to listen to it. And that's a big chunk of time. You know, if you have kids, when's the last time you got to sit down for 11 and a half minutes and not be bothered? So it's a big investment. And I could see myself really only putting it on when I want to hear it and experience it. You know, the other thing I was thinking of is this is the first Primus track where they're going to be playing some kind of audio over the PA when they play it live that they have to play to. So the commentary at the end, those vocal commentaries, they actually have to play to them when they play live to keep the song together. So that's a strange new wrinkle, I think, for a Primus live show. You know, they don't play to a click track or any shit like that, but now they kind of have to play to this portion of the tune. They've already played it a few times live here in the first few dates of the second go-round of Tribute to Kings. I have a question for you, Frankie.
Sure.
I don't know if I hear Tim Alexander being Tim Alexander on this track. What do you think about that statement?
Kind of agree with you. I see where you're coming from. He's particularly tame mm-hmm. in the track for his standards, right?
Right. He's really laid back. And of course, it's a slower pace, and he's letting the track breathe, and I think that's by design. But I also don't hear a lot of his signature hits when it comes to some of the drum lines in this track. I hear Herb here and I hear Herb there, but over the course of 11 and a half minutes, I find myself going, this definitely could have been a Lennon Delirium song. This could have been any drummer behind the kit.
I will speculate and say that situation reminds me of the interview where Tim Alexander said he hated doing the intro of Southern Pachyderm And at the time that he recorded it, he was not taking into account that he would have to do it night after night.
Oh, sure. So
I'm thinking that when he realized that he would be playing an 11-minute plus number on several performances during the tour, maybe he didn't want to make things hard on himself. So maybe he wanted to do, you know, of course, leave his mark on it,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, not create something that will be a torture to perform live for 11 minutes.
Right. Yeah. You're already doing 35 minutes of drum acrobatics by playing Neil Peart songs. You've gone above and beyond at that point, Herb. Absolutely. But yeah, maybe he is giving himself some space to just play. I do want to point to what I'm talking about. So when we get to the main groove, like here, we get a few of those kick drum flourishes. In a lot of ways, it's just fairly straightforward. And the other thing is, right there, we get a lot of stop and start I was going to talk about, too. It's got a structure similar to the Trek for me from the Desaturating 7 with a lot of parts that start, then stop, then transition to the next part. And I thought, I just feel like I want a little more continuity there. But that's, once again, this is all just opinion and initial reaction. So maybe it'll gel in my mind over time. That's a cool Tim Alexander. Right there, too. So that's a cool Tim Alexander thing. Like, I know that's him, right? But in much of the song, he's mostly just kind of playing it straight ahead. All right.
Follow the Fool.
Hey, that's not nice. Follow the Fool, second track. Now, this one has only been around for a few days. They snuck it onto YouTube without any announcement. But, of course, I'm sure there are plenty of Primus fans that had their alerts set up. I found out within about 5 minutes of it being posted that it was there just through the network. All of a sudden, there it was. The link was there, so I had to go check it out. And I have to say, my first reaction, Frankie, was that damned envelope filter.
Delicious.
Delicious for you, poison for others. No, but it is catchy. This is a very catchy thing.
Yes.
And it's very less Claypool and very solo Les Claypool to a degree. And it's kind of like a default. My first reaction was it was kind of a default Les Claypool bass line, as if he was kind of on autopilot. And that's not a bad thing, but it just sounds like something that he would just default to when he's goofing around. Interesting track, though. Drums and guitar don't have much to do until halfway through the track when they really join in earnest.
That's now, a good here, point.
I'm hearing a lot of great Tim Alexander stuff. He's present on this one. Lur has a great catchy lick. There's a lot of cool stuff in this one.
Two things that I want to point out. First of all, regarding the cadence and the sound of the track, It instantly reminded me of the Scheme from the Saturating 7.
Same here.
Secondly, it's not usual for Lur to remind me of other guitar players within the Claypool canon. Because he's usually Lur, you know, nothing compares to him. But since the first time I heard this song, I couldn't shake Bucket of Bernie Brains off of my mind. What Lur is doing in this song, to me, sounds remarkably similar to a lot of the jamming that went on during the tour. And if I could mention a particular track just to compare, I would like to make a comparison with Elephant Ghost. So, first, Josh, can you please play a portion of Follow the Fool when the guitar comes in? Right there. That song. That kind of playing. Can you play Elephant Ghost from Bucket of Bernie Brains at 2 minutes with 20 seconds?
I'm sure that wasn't intentional, but it does have that similar sound to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got a bucket of Vernier Brains vibe to it.
Wow. Frankie's pulling out these things that I would not have thought of. He is a much more accomplished Les Claypool fan than I. Nice work on that one. It does have that tinge to it. You're right. And you know what you said is Lur doesn't normally remind you of anybody else too. And that's a really important facet of his playing. He's so individualistic, but there is a little bit there that you could connect to. And it does, I think that favors this track, actually. It colors it in a nice way.
Yeah, it makes it pretty unique.
You know, the other thing is, I think these lyrics are now starting to form a pattern. Wink, wink. I think we all knew that anyway. But the, you know, this one, at least, he doesn't necessarily name names, and he lets us fill in with whoever we want for the fool. You know, for a lot of people, it's the current president. For a lot of people, it was the previous president. It could be your neighborhood watch coordinator, Frankie. It doesn't matter who the fool is, right? This one
gives it's a universal trek.
Yeah, it gives you a little bit more space. So in the comments on this one, it was really funny to hear people just go, this is obviously about blank. Les is a little more precocious with his lyrics here. I love the fake out at the very end where they make us wait for the last or the fool, the bells, the fool, and that repetition. And there's a really fun vocal delivery going on this track.
Which also harks back to the acrobatics that he was doing with the scheme, right? With the schemers always scheming and they're scheming all the time.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of that.
I would say so. Yeah. There's some really cool. I do like that vocal delivery where he's going, who's the big of who? You know, he's giving you that. And it's really great. So I think there's a lot of cool stuff going on this one. And it's brief. It's upbeat.
And heavy.
And it's catchy, even though he's just hitting on that note and then muting it over and over and over again. Then freaking envelope filter. But
I'm assuming it's the Pachyderm, right?
I would imagine so, yeah. I can still live with this track, despite the wet pasta flying everywhere. So this is a fun one. So I want to play this lick because I think this is where the track really takes off, Frankie, and let me know if you agree. Stuff going on right there. I really like
Amazing.
That part. Herb's doing some cool drum stuff too.
Did you also get some up on the roof vibes from the bass?
Not really. I guess in my mind didn't go there. I can hear it now, though, in my mind's ear, that track. The other thing I was reminded of was the Battle song Atlas, which is really funny because considering the Primus toured with Battles last time around and are doing so right now. I actually heard a little bit of that tune. You know, Les probably was standing side stage watching Battles here and there, and maybe something got in his ear.
Maybe I should be more open-minded to these opening bands because I had a terrible experience in Los Angeles when I was watching the two close to the new year, the Saturating Seven shows. Hello, Fade In, Fade Out, Goodbye, or something like that. Opened for Primus, and it was an awful experience. And that kind of tainted my perception because now looking back on Denver, I realize that the opening band was actually pretty cool.
Which one was that? Was that Crown Lands?
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't too bad.
I had a bad attitude towards them because I just wanted Primus to come on stage. But maybe because, you know, I was biased regarding the opening bands.
Well, at least you weren't like a Slayer fan just chanting Slayer, Slayer the entire set. But no, I got to interact with those Crownland guys at the show I saw them at, and they couldn't have been more gracious and kind. So, okay, so you mentioned the scheme. I was going there too. It just seemed like a natural continuation of that line of thinking. And that's good because the scheme is a standout track on Desaturating Seven. So they, you know.
For sure.
I think that they were channeling something superior there. Speaking of superior, track three, Aaron on the Side of Caution. Where do you start,
Perfect.
Frankie? What do you like about this one?
First of all, it's easily my favorite song on the EP. Even if the EP had, well, even if it turned out to be a full album and there were more songs to pick, I could still see Aaron being one of my top picks for the two following reasons. First of all, the return of the fretted six.
Hallelujah.
Legendary bass. Yes. It just takes you right back to the 90s, right? It's old school Primus. It's like listening to Punch Bowl for the first time again.
Yeah.
Listening to something from Pork Soda. It's just an amazing instrument. It has so much character. it just gives any song that it's part of such a really amazing and cool vibe. And the other reason is that I also think erring on the side of caution wouldn't be out of place in the Reels Are Abound Tonight album. This is like Primus doing a sausage number. And it's pretty ironic considering that the title is similar or could be compared to the title of the last track on the Riddles album.
Oh, caution should be used.
That's right.
Well, that's an interesting connection that you say the sausage record, because that did not enter my mind at all. But I am adjacent to you in my sounds like category, Frankie, because I wrote that Erring on the Side of Caution to me, because one of the tracks I'm about to reference was recorded in the same location at about the same time. I wrote that Erring on the Side of Caution sounds like Rest in Bones and Pudentane eloped, but then rented a flat from Bastardizing Jalikit. That's where I
agree completely. The vocal delivery is Rest in Bones all the way.
Yeah, yeah. And the vibe to me is very Bastardizing Jalikit, with kind of the creepy, crawly portions of things. And then the Pudentane. Now, we know, Frankie, glaciers melt, your hair turns gray, but that fretted six always sounds badass. And when he's hitting those higher registers, I'm hearing a little bit of Pudentane in there. And that's, once again, that's just the association I'm making. I don't think that they are retreading ground they've already tread. I don't think that they're repeating themselves, but I'm making these associations because that's the sound I hear. That fretted six, I could pick that out of any lineup.
And it's potentially very promising, because if they bring these two B-sides into rotation during the shows, I don't see Les bringing out the fretted six just for Erring and then switching back to other bass. It would be a waste, right?
Right.
So maybe if he performs Erring, that means the floodgates are open for Del Davis, Hellbound, Hamburger Train, many other amazing songs that were born out of that instrument.
Let's get a five track run out of the fretted six, for crying out loud. You know, catch up to the rainbow. I want to play a few parts of this one because it is so gnarly with the fretted six. There's another weird vocal. I think Les is really, you know, he always talked about that he was an old man when he was young, but I think he's really embracing the old man with his vocals now. And that's fine. People change over time, and their delivery changes and everything, so it's cool with me. But this track sounds like it's going to explode at any moment, and then it does. You know, they're rocking it out, and on that fretted six, he's going to that higher register, which I just love the sound of. I should also point out that this is the track that started with the Lure riff, and I imagine it was the part where he's goofing around on the harmonics, and that's a really cool, creepy, crawly sound as well. So they really built something nice around it. I'm a big fan of that. And it gets heavier and heavier over the course of it, which is something that they really perfected with Animals. So it goes right back to those fuzzy good feelings from that record for me.
And whereas Herf kind of faded in the background in the title track, he completely stands out in Erring.
Yes, much more.
It's all over the place. Here. He's doing very interesting things.
He is. He's filling that space with some of those runs. He's got a really cool groove on the hi-hat and kick there. It's a start-stop thing, but the whole band isn't starting and stopping, which can be bothersome sometimes for those of us that like continuity. But this one grooves the whole time, and there aren't those false endings. They're kind of steamrolling right through it.
And then we get a very cool mini bass solo as well.
I think you're talking about this one. See how he goes from that right back down to those lower notes on that fretted six? I mean, he knows that that's the bread and butter of that instrument. Go high, go low. So we get that esoteric sounding solo. And he's kind of weaving around throughout the track on that high end. We're getting some cool stuff there. I'm not going to play the entire thing because you need to go buy this. Primus needs to know that you will buy their music, by the way. So they'll make more of it. And of course, at the end there, I mean, this is the heaviest we've heard them probably since Antipop, I got to say. here at the end. Here's a nice payoff. I'm a hearing on the side of the caution. Here's that weird vocal. I love it. I'm a hearing on the side of the caution. That sounds great. Kudos to Dan at Gibson Custom for the guitar sound there. Their sounds great. What a great way to round out this EP. Nice heavy song with creepy elements. Which I'll never get over, Frankie. I love that.
Fools and Erin were certainly worth the wait.
Absolutely. And I didn't point it out, but I'm sure 99.9% of our intelligent listeners will know that Erin on the Side of Caution is obviously a pun on the phrase erring on the side of caution. So instead it's Erin, and she is quite cautious. Yeah, to me this one, Rest in Bones, Pudentane, Bastardizing Did You Like It, they're all in there. And
riddles.
And Frankie says riddles. I suppose as it crystallizes in my head, I'll be able to speak to that part. So those afterthoughts, Frankie, those shorter tracks, they're quite enjoyable. Conspiranoia, it's almost too much to deal with just to get to those sweet spots since Solo, Larry, some of those grooves. But we should say that Conspiranoia, of course, sets the record for the longest Primus studio track. I would say it would work better with more dynamics to it, but, you know, I can always qualify it and say, hey, it's new Primus, and maybe it'll be a grower. A lot of Primus does tend to be a grower on you, so we'll see what happens once the novelty wears off, but right now, we have a couple of solid tunes. For me, I should say, we have a couple of solid tunes and a moonshot that didn't land.
I agree, Josh. I agree completely with everything you said.
I like hearing that.
Erin has the highest replay value for me, for sure. I've been playing it nonstop since it fell into our hands. And I can see myself enjoying Follow the Fool quite a bit as well over the years. Yeah. But Erin is definitely the standout track in this very, very brief collection of songs.
Yeah. And we should comment upon the sound quality. The instruments sound great. The mix is quite nice.
It sounds crisp.
And it sounds great in their new rehearsal space. No qualms there. They sound good. And that's exciting too. New Primus, everybody. There it is. Initial reactions. Can't wait to see these songs out on tour when they come my way later this year.
New Primus is always welcome. I don't know if these songs would have existed. You know, maybe the lyrics would have been different, of course. But musically, I don't know if they would have come up with these numbers had things happened differently in the last couple of years. Who knows? Maybe Les would have focused on Delirium, or maybe he would have ventured into some other thing. Perhaps, you know, they wouldn't have found the reason or the inspiration to jam and create the songs. So whatever happened in the last couple of years and the time we have to wait since the Saturating Seven, and I know that there are also people who are not the happiest because they're playing an entire Rush album on tour. Mm-hmm. I mean, because all things considered, I'm glad they put out these three songs. And if these three songs are the result of all of those things combined, then I think it's worth it.
And it's really exciting to me to see what they'll come up with next, because they are definitely firing on all cylinders live. They sound great. They're making new music.
Here's to hoping they'll tackle a full album next.
Hear, hear. Go out and enjoy those tracks. Conspiranoid, streaming right now, final in August. Go see Primus live, too. I heard they're pretty good. Later days.
Willie Mays.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.